Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Plausibly live. Not good. I thought you got that fixed.
Monday.
Okay.
It'll be fixed.
Plausibly live from New York. It's a show whose bracket is already busted. Can you believe it?
Brew needed BYU big time.
Well, I think
you didn't
I might have had Sweet 16 or something.
Bronny's
like that.
Guys at Duquesne, man. You gotta
but then later
it.
On, Thursday night, did you survive it?
Yeah, I did well.
Today.
I had a good Thursday night.
Is the hype around Caleb too high? Mark Sanchez joins us to discuss. Meanwhile, is Drake May going to be week one ready out here looking like Josh Allen? And finally, is Jaden Daniels going to follow in Mac Jones' footsteps, Pro Bowl and a playoff berth for the New England Patriots? Or Nick thinks he's just too skinny.
I'm worried about that. I like my football players to be big and strong. And I
so
get nervous.
He can
when
add a little weight, though.
Well, he played in college football for a half decade. You'd think he would have by now.
He ran for 1,100.
Listen, I think he's dynamic. It makes me nervous. We were like, you thought the same thing about Tank Dell. Yeah, and then he got his
maybe
leg broken.
Maybe he carries his Heisman
makes
trophy in his backpack.
That I'm worried about Kyler's size. He got hurt. I get nervous.
Kyler? It's 5'10".
I worry about these things.
We'll start with Caleb Williams. He had his pro day earlier this week. Made some amazing throws. Defense, not great.
Not great. They're non-existent.
Yeah, like USC's
that?
Real team. It's a perfect.
Right, that's true.
Bears corner Jalen Johnson joined the Kay Adams program and talked about how the defense could help his development. Take a listen.
You just humble yourself coming in the building. I feel like it's one of those things where it's like you can't, like you said, you can't bring that Hollywood stuff into the building, especially now with guys who play this game, knowing what pushes him. If it is trash talk makes them crumble, and I mean, I feel like we got to push that button because people in the game, they're going to push that button. So just depending on whatever it is that he needs to be pushed at, I feel like that's our job and that's our duty as his teammates to make him better, to strengthen his weaknesses.
Okay. I like that. What do you think a successful season for Caleb looks like?
Bears make the playoffs.
Okay.
So that the 10 wins plus, so a 3-win improvement. He sets the Bears' all-time record for passing yards in a season, which sounds ridiculous, but then I tell you it's 3,838. If he averages 225 yards per game, he sets it. So just context, Sam Howell and Derek Carr last year would have set the Bears' record for most passing yards in any season.
Sam Howell can throw the ball.
He threw for a
and
ton.
And so, they both threw for right around 3,900. Sam had some big games, then quieted off,
some
missed some time.
Teams.
But so, yeah, I mean, and that we leave the season wondering if Caleb is the best young quarterback in the NFC, which right now would be between Jordan Love, Jalen Hurts, Brew would probably include Brock Purdy, I would not. That's a successful season. Like that, and when I say young quarterback, I feel like Stafford is, you know, nearing the end. And so
he would take C.J. Stroud's NFC.
Exactly.
Sort of
right now, Jordan, I think most people, I don't know if most people, some would say Jalen Hurts, some would say Brock Purdy, and some would say Jordan Love. Like that's the young NFC quarterback triumvirate that he joins that, and I think maybe goes to the top of it, depending on Jordan Love could ascend even higher. Mm-hmm. And so that, to me, those are not unrealistic expectations. 3-win improvement, around 4,000 yards, and that he's looked at as one of, if not the best young quarterback in his conference. That's fair.
Well, you brought up C.J. Stroud. I would be stunned if he has the rookie season that C.J. Stroud does. I mean, that was the best rookie season ever.
Well, that's right.
Right?
So he would have to have the best rookie season ever.
And that's obviously a high bar. So I'm not saying if he's not C.J. Stroud, I'm going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
No. But what I see happening, I think he will start out fairly pedestrian, all right? But I think it's – and what I want to see if I'm the Bears and what I think is a successful season is over the second half of the year, it starts to click, and you can see it, right? He's more accurate. He's processing better. He's figuring out when to run more and when not to run, and it's really clicking. I had the same number as you, 10-7. I could see them going 10-7 and missing the playoffs. I don't have them making the playoffs, but 10-7, I was thinking 3,500 yards, something like that. But at the end of the season, we feel like, okay, I'm not even going as high as you. Like, is he better than Jordan Love or anything? I think at the end of the season, if you're like, okay, he's clearly the guy. They made the right choice. They got their future franchise quarterback. They're good.
That's your bar for success, just knowing that he's good in their
Yep.
See, I agree.
Because I don't
that.
Expect a ton from rookie. I just don't.
Do you think that your plan could backfire? Your expectations could backfire?
What do you mean?
Where if they, you know, if they go 7-10,
well,
that the pressure, not only that there's external pressure, but it feels like he has, you know, won the Heisman. We talked to him at the Super Bowl, and he had very high. He's like, I'm going to try to cut down even more on my interceptions. I think he only had 5. But and they wanted to compete for a national championship. That kind of went away. He was very emotional. That he might be putting too much pressure on him, that all of a sudden he needs to take the Bears, who haven't been good in a while, all the way to the playoffs.
So
versus come one final thing. Yeah, versus CJ, it was like, surprise, Texans are good.
So, correct. So, CJ, because he wasn't the first pick, even though, you know, Brew and some other people thought he should have been, and because the Texans have been mired in such football hell, rotating through quarterbacks and coaches and all of it, if the Texans had gone 7-10, people would have been thrilled. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, oh, my God. And instead, they were excellent throughout the year. You guys know I'm not a quarterback wins guy, so I think, yes, there could be a season where Caleb has a great year and answers the question Bruce talking about, and the Bears do only win 7 games. If that happens, then what's unfortunate for Caleb is if that happens, now he's probably going to be on that. It's my second year and my second head coach. Because they brought back Matt Eberflus because they won those games at the end of the year because the defense was playing well, and a lot of people in Chicago, because that's what they did to Justin Fields. They brought back the previous head coach after, and then after Fields' rookie year, they fire him, and now it's like, okay, new system, new coach. That's one of the things people said they thought was unfair to Fields. But I don't think if all of a sudden the Bears' defense takes a big step back from where it was last year, or if the division, like you've talked about, is really, really good, and the Bears don't make the playoffs, I don't think people are going to be like, ah, he's not the guy.
No.
I think it will be more about how he looks and what his stats are. Because if the Bears fans, Brew, have been so starved for a good quarterback, that if he puts up good numbers, they're going to be thrilled because none of their quarterbacks have.
No, I agree. I agree. None. I mean,
none.
Sid Luckman.
Sid Luckman, pre-Super Bowl era.
We talk more about Sid Luckman.
Listen, Brew
show.
And I are historians of sports, man.
Like I'm in the moment. I'm more Gen
look
Z.
Look him up. He's good.
I'm more of the TikTok generation.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah, exactly right.
Is it on? Is he on TikTok? Highlights?
His games weren't on TV. But.
Court drawings or something? Mark Sanchez, next.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF, netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
NFL Draft right around the corner, and joining us here to talk about all the quarterbacks is Mark Sanchez. Mark, thank you for joining us. You were at Caleb's Pro Day yesterday, and to me, all Pro Days kind of look exactly the same, but I'm sure you know more than I do. Did anything jump out to you about Caleb's Pro Day?
No, I think it's interesting, and one, thanks for having me, but two, this Pro Day thing, and maybe I'm too harsh of a grader and too calloused from my years playing in New York or something, but you get this script, right? And you get to practice this routine. You get to rehearse with your receivers multiple times, probably 20 times leading up to today. The mental lift here is quite light, right? There's no defenses, there's no disguising, there's no press coverage, there's no audibles. I mean, you're basically just walking through some plays. It's routes versus air. So I'm not expecting many footballs to be on the ground. Call me crazy, but it should be pretty seamless, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought Caleb analyzed his pro day perfectly. He came on Colin's show immediately after and just said, hey, I missed a couple deep balls. That was my only takeaway. Everything from, you know, 25 yards and under, the deep end routes, the corner routes, the deep outs, all that kind of stuff. I mean, it was laser sharp, catchable football. The ball was spinning. It looked effortless. Exactly what I'd want to see. A couple deep balls got away from him, got a little squirrely, missed a couple up the right sideline to Brendan Rice. And on air, you know, is that alarming? Maybe not alarming. It's one practice. Now, you also have to understand, I kind of grade these things on a pass or fail. You know, you're not going to jump up 10 spots in the draft because of a pro day. It just basically affirms what I've already seen on tape. And this guy already has so much electrifying tape that you're not really picking him to throw routes on air versus no defense. I mean, that's ridiculous to think that. So bottom line is pass or fail, an absolute pass.
Well, Mark, Caleb absolutely is the star of this draft. I think he's been the most hyped quarterback since probably Andrew Luck. So has it been too much hype or is it warranted?
I feel like every year this is kind of the new routine we all go through, this dance we kind of go back and forth. But at the start of the year, there's one clear-cut guy, and he's in a different stratosphere than anybody else. And nobody's going to catch this guy. It's him and the rest of the field. And then by the end of the season, we got six quarterbacks potentially going in the first round. And now you're trying to find reasons why Caleb is no longer the top guy and why all these other guys are just skyrocketing up everybody's draft board and everybody's mock draft board. So I think bottom line is, yes, was he potentially overhyped? Absolutely. Now the expectation is through the roof. One bad throw at Pro Day, one bad game against Utah or whatever, and now it's, oh, man, maybe he's not the guy. No, I still think he's the clear-cut most talented. His whole body of work shows his ability to adapt to different situations. I think one of the best things about him is his ability to extend plays. I mean, he's so electric outside of the pocket. I've broken down plays for Colin Cowherd on his show, and you see the kind of playmaking ability, and if you can just harness that, eliminate some of the silly throws, some of the plays where he's trying a little too hard, where he's trying to make, you know, chicken salad or chicken soup out of chicken crap. If we can eliminate those, buddy, we are off and moving. And he's going to learn it fast. And if he's in Chicago, he's going to have some weapons. So I think beyond a doubt, he's got everything you want.
So Caleb obviously won the Heisman 2 years ago. The guy who won the Heisman this year, Jaden Daniels, Wilds has fallen in love with he thinks that's who the Patriots are going to draft at 3. It is very difficult to watch LSU this past year and not be wowed by a lot of it. But there are also a lot of moments where you watch Jaden and you're like, I know he's okay because I know how the game ended, but I don't know how he's okay because it looked like he just got powerbombed at midfield. How much is Jaden's style and also his pretty slight frame a concern to you? Because the only real concern I have is his durability, but that might be the most important thing for any quarterback in the NFL.
Well, 100%, and I think as you look at all these potential top six guys, there's a formula to win with each of the six. Now, are all of them going to be gold jacket guys? Of course not. So where does Jaden fit in this, draft class? Well, you see here the ability to run and the pure speed. I mean, he's running away from SEC conference studs. And when you turn on the jets like that and you show me you can run like that, you know that's going to be That's going to put fear in the defense every time you play on Sunday. Now, what comes with that, ask any quarterback that runs, I mean, you're going to get hit. So how can you teach this kid to get down and not take that hit? The one that looks like that you just mentioned getting powerbombed, I mean, the guy gets folded up like a lawn chair a couple times, yeah. And you're like, there's no way he leaves the field not on a stretcher. This is unbelievable. And he pops right back up. So he seems to be durable. I think the most interesting thing about him is at Arizona State, I saw a really good athlete playing quarterback. Right now at LSU, I see a quarterback who happens to be a really good athlete. He processes a lot better. You can see him going through these progressions, full field progressions. And my only concern is some of these deep balls, like the guys running out the back door, just let's not make it an adventure there at the goal line. Just I want to see some of those balls going away in stride. The guy just walks, just runs right through the tunnel to the locker room and close out the game. You know, when I analyze a quarterback, I want to watch a dirty pocket. I want to see him on third down, fourth down. I want to see him in these crucial situations. This guy's got some impressive stuff. I would like to see that deep ball a little deeper on some of those. He's got a lot of jump balls in there that I'd like to see him, you know, throw out the back door, drop it in the bucket, let his guy go. But listen, he's, once again, there's a formula to win with him, but 6'4", 210-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I need you to, you know, then what's he, that's combine 210.
Right.
So he's probably walking around at 200.
Right.
Yeah, maybe. And then you start a season and now you're 190. That worries me a little bit. So he's got to develop physically a little bit.
So that's my only concern. The top three guys, I totally understand why they're the top three guys. Caleb, because I watched the first game of his career, again, when he was at Oklahoma, came in mid-game, and I was like, oh, that guy's awesome, and then he was awesome to my eyes every step of the way. Drake May, it's like, he's 6'4 and a half, 230, has a rocket arm, I understand. Jaden, we just talked about. And then you get to the fourth guy, who some people think might be the third guy. Jim Harbaugh says is the first guy. J.J. McCarthy. And, Mark, you got to explain this one to me. I watched a lot of Michigan last year because they were awesome. And every time I watched Michigan, it felt to me like they were coaching around the limitations of their quarterback. Now I hear teams love the quarterback so much they want to move up in the top five to get him. What am I not seeing with J.J. McCarthy, and what do you think of him?
Yeah, I think it's important also to understand, because of all the movement and these opinions, remember there's 32 potential opinions, and within those opinions of every building, there's like splinters of opinions, okay? Yep. So you get this massive web of opinions. Now, you don't have to get all 32 teams to love you. You don't. You just need one. And you want one team that happens to be pretty good, hopefully, to move up and draft you. That's the best situation. If you're writing your script, and you're writing this as your kid is J.J. McCarthy, you would want him to go to the best team possible. Well, that's not the way the NFL draft works. The worst team gets the best pick. So he might have the benefit of all these other guys going 1, 2, and 3, and somebody who's a good ball club, potentially Minnesota, potentially one of these teams that was right on the brink of the playoffs, 9-8 type team, which you guys know, 9-8 to 12-5, I mean, we're talking a margin of this. It's a special teams play. It's a fumble. It's an interception. It's a kick return. And your whole season changes. So he's going to get the benefit of going somewhere where he might not even have to play right away, where he might have a sound offensive line in front of him, where he might, just like Patrick Mahomes, have an elite veteran that teaches him the process, that teaches him how to travel. What's your routine on game day? How to watch third down tape? What really do you have in your toolbox to pick up these blitzes? How do you adjust protection? How do you learn how to see these different combo coverages and zone blitzers and all that kind of stuff? Well, he might benefit from that. So in the long run, he might be better positioned based on where he lands. And that's just the way it goes.
Well, Mark, you mentioned Mahomes sitting behind Alex Smith, and you called several or a handful of Bears games this year, this yep. past season. So you saw Justin Fields. Do you think it's best for him to go to Pittsburgh and kind of sit under Russell Wilson and learn? Or do you think, what chance do you give him to maybe take that starting job, if not at the beginning of the year, then some point during the season?
Listen, I think there's plenty on tape to prove that Justin Fields, there's a formula to win with Justin Fields. It's going to require a little less, you know, straight up drop back in the pocket. It's going to be more of your RPO, your zone read type game. But at times, you're going to be able to doctor up some of these play actions where he can get around up in the pocket, turn his back to the defense, give a hard play fake, and then make something happen. He's going to extend plays. He's going to do stuff like we're watching right now. But because of the situation in Pittsburgh, and this is pure speculation, I don't have any inside knowledge, but just knowing, when you have two forces like that in one quarterback room, you almost have none.
Yes.
Right? You almost cancel each other out. And it's, you know, the team's looking around just like you are as to, okay, who are we following? Who do we get behind? We're all trying to row the boat in the same direction here, but who's leading us? Who's calling out the plays? And it makes it difficult with big, you know, ego's probably the wrong word, but, you know, big superstars in a room, big names, you know, they come with, guys talk about all these guys come with baggage. They got off the field issues. Well, it's not a negative off the field issue, but they come with a lot of quote unquote baggage because they're superstars and nobody wants to play backup vocals, right? And there can only be one, right? There can only be one quarterback. It's different. Receivers get to eat at the same time. Tight ends, running back. It's a different position altogether. And in my experience and my personal belief is you got to, everything in that organization has to be seen through the eyes of your starting quarterback. I don't care if you're the guy making food or the gal making food in the cafeteria, if you're selling season tickets, if you're in suite sales and VIP experience at the stadium, everything has to be seen through the eyes of the quarterback. Mm. How do we get him better? How do we, in some way, script for success? How do we just add little notches on this guy's belt, let him climb every rung up the ladder, establish a leadership role, and get everybody in on it? That's what you have to do. That's what the good ones do. That's how you develop a quarterback. So when you have multiple guys in one room like that, it's a little cause for concern, if you ask me.
It's something we deal with on the show often until you guys realize it.
Well, that would be ego. That's ego.
Right, ego. Right about
Thank you, Mark. Have a great day. We appreciate it. It was excellent. Yeah.
Thanks, Mark.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's time now to lift the ban on puns and allow Brew to flex the headline writing muscles he honed and toned while spilling ink for some of the finest publications in all the land.
Yes.
It's Monday Morning Headlines. Nick, you're the opening act.
All right, we know in the NFL, the lead story for every event is what did the Chiefs do? Because they are the imminent dynasty. So, at 32, he's a good lad. Chiefs Steele McConkey falls to 32, the perfect shifty slot receiver to go along with Hollywood and Rashee Rice. Terror spreads through AFC. What was a weakness, now a strength. Maybe that's wide receiver trio in football once they add him at 32.
Best wide receiver.
I'm just letting you know, watch trio? Ladd McConkey highlights. Oh, watch him. What do you got?
Okay. I got a classic, bro.
Really?
A classic. Arizona Cardinals. Kyler. Kyler gets a new weapon. Marvin Harrison Jr., all of a sudden people say, wow, Kyler can really play.
Well done, Miles.
All right.
Well done. All right. You guys are going to like this. You really are. Okay. Let's see it.
Let's see it.
Bo, my goodness. Now look at these subheads. After nixing Russ, Bo Nix.
Yeah, we get it.
Peyton puts future in hands of Oregon QB. Well, that was y'all are underwhelmed.
Bo, my goodness.
After nixing.
Yeah, no, we get
I saw
it.
That part.
It's like Bo
his
Nix.
His name is Bo Nix.
It also could have maybe worked for Michael Penix, who has Nix at the end of his name.
Christina delivered
it. I like the Bo. I would have done more with
Christina
the Bo.
Christina brainstormed on this.
Like, God, Bo. I hope you're right about that.
Bo, we'll see you on Monday.
I hope the Broncos take him.
Over Penix?
Bo?
You want him to take Penix? They got to take a quarterback, right?